Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast, and before we get started, I just wanted to remind you the Talking Metal hotline number is open, 973-757-1917. That's right, I'm saying it right this time. I was very concerned because no one was calling in, and then I realized on the last two episodes I was giving out the wrong number. So it's fixed now. Here we go, 973-757-1917. We will be getting to a call later in the episode, so stay tuned for that. And introducing my lovely, beautiful, gorgeous, talented co-host, my wife, Emily Striegel. How are you?
Wow, that was nice.
All true. And a talking metal toast. You have a plastic cup, so we're not going to hear it. But Emily, what are you drinking on today's podcast?
It's not metal. I'm not telling you. I'm going to lose so much credibility because I'm typically drinking beer, right? Or whiskey. But tonight I'm drinking champagne.
you drink champagne a lot too. Then champagne's a great drink. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
I buy these little mini bottles of champagne because you don't really like it. So I'm not going to buy a big bottle.
I don't mind it, but I prefer usually beer and maybe a little. We've been drinking the cold cocked whiskey, which is very good.
It's cold cock, not cold cock.
Well, there you go. Cold cock whiskey.
Cock.
Anyways, we are here to present the continuing coverage of the Rock Carnival. If you've been paying attention to the last four episodes, you've heard a lot of great interviews that Mitch LaFon and myself have done with members of the Alice Cooper Band, the great Punky Meadows, and who else? Jackal, Blasco, to name a few. And on this episode, we are going to continue our coverage, and we have a lot of great interviews. We're going to hear from PJ and Steve, PJ Farley, Steve Brown from Trickster. We're going to hear from JD from Black Label Society. We're going to hear from the band The Apocalypse Blues Review, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Rock Carnival. So, Emily, you weren't there the first day, which you were lucky because it was a rain out, but you came down like halfway through the second day, and to me, the second day, I mean, I wasn't there the third day. You were, but the second day, I had a couple big highlights. What were your highlights of the day?
Second day was, it was amazing. Highlights for me were Monster Magnet. First time I've seen Monster Magnet. We were doing the math. I think it's been 11 years.
It's been a while, yeah.
I love them. Love Dave Windorf. I was able to shoot them. And, you know, I got up really, really close and, you know, he was just on fire. I thought they were fantastic.
And we will be posting some of the photos Emily took of Monster Magnet in today's show notes. Who else?
So, loved them, loved Overkill. Oh, my God. Yeah. I was going crazy. I know Mark was looking at me like I was a maniac because I was jumping all over the place.
No, it was great. I mean, and I know it's been, I was trying to think. We saw Overkill together on the Gigantor tour many years ago. I went with John Astronomy to see them once. We were guests of Ron Lipnicki, their drummer, and we saw them in the city. And I don't know if it was Roseland. I'm thinking it was that PlayStation Theater place is where John
and
I
wasn't
saw
there.
Them.
I would remember. Yeah, I think the last time I saw them was Gigantor.
Yeah, I think it was that PlayStation Theater, which has had a few different names. But yeah, we saw them there, and I got to tell you, this last time seeing them with you at Rock Carnival was one of my favorite times.
It was amazing.
They were like, so good.
And you know, the thing was, it wasn't pouring raining, but it was like misting.
When they played.
Right. When they played, and the wind was blowing, and it was this like, with the lighting and everything, it was like this mystical, amazing, like I felt like we were in some kind of dream sequence. It was the coolest thing ever.
Some of the bands there had kind of a boomy, echoey sound. They sounded so clear to me.
They did.
Yeah. And which a lot of times with a thrash band or a heavy band, sometimes stuff does get lost live in the open air settings, but they sounded so great. And one thing about both of those bands that you mentioned that was a highlight for me, and I really have to give you credit for making this happen, is we didn't interview Dave Wendorf or Bobby Blitz at the Rock Carnival. Of course, you interviewed Bobby Blitz a number of episodes ago, but we got to hang with them, and it was almost cooler because we didn't have the microphones going, and we got to talk with them like normal people. Yeah. And I thought that was a really cool moment of the Rock Carnival, at least for me. It was a lot of fun, and to just have a normal conversation with them, you know.
Well, I've always said to Mark, it's too bad. Like the best conversations we have typically are off mic, you know, that goes for a lot of different artists when you're just hanging out. But yeah, I was so excited to be able to talk to him again, talk to his lovely wife again. And I got to meet some other members of the band and their fiancés, girlfriends, wives, and so fun.
And the one thing I was surprised by at the show, I mentioned my friend Ron Lipnicki, who's obviously not a super tight friend anymore because I haven't spoken with him in probably 2 years, but he's out. And we had a new drummer at the Overkill show. And I had looked around on Blabbermouth and had seen that, you know, they kind of said they were having a fill-in drummer, but Bobby Blitz basically confirmed to us that night that Ron is definitely not in the band anymore. So, which is kind of bums me out, but honestly, no disrespect towards Ron. They sounded fantastic at the Rock Carnival with the new guy who I forgot his name, but Bobby Blitz, great guy. And you and Dave Wendorf talking about strippers and yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't even know how we got on that subject. I tend to get on the stripper subject a lot. It's the Jersey thing. That was the other really cool thing about this festival is it was like Jersey in the house between Dave and, you know, Overkill and Twisted Sister. I know they're really more New York, I guess, but
yeah. And even Punky Meadows, you know, in Punky Meadows band, the drummer from Monster Magnet was playing with Punky Meadows, and Chandler Mogul, who's been on the podcast, a friend of the show's, I believe he's a Jersey guy too, friend of Bumblefoot's. He was singing with Punky. So yeah, there was JD from Black Label Society, of course, a Jersey guy, Zach originally from Jersey. But yeah, it was definitely Jersey was in the house for sure. And on the stage.
And you felt that like you totally, oh, and Sebastian Bach got up on stage on Sunday and was just like saying how much I lived in Jersey for 20 years and I miss it and blah, blah, blah. He was like, fuck you, Hurricane Irene. He went talking about the...
Lost his house.
He lost his house. It was basically washed away, which is why he left. But yeah, it was definitely Jersey strong.
All right. Well, let's get into some interviews right now. We'll start things off with one that I did on Saturday. Very brief. My old buddy from Berkeley, JD, who has been with Zach for a long time now, and he also has a great band called Cycle of Pain, which played the Rock Carnival. So first, let's check out some classic Black Label Society with JD on bass. This is Parade of the Dead. That will be followed by my probably 2-minute interview with JD, maybe 3 minutes. And after that, we'll hear a little Cycle of Pain. So here we go. Black Label Society, followed by my interview with JD from Black Label Society.
The sacred bell begins to run.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and we are here at the Rock Carnival in New Jersey, the home state for JD from Black Label Society, right? JD, how are you?
How you doing, Mark, man? Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you again. So let's talk about what you're up to. You're always staying busy with so much stuff. I know you just got off a tour, right?
Yeah, with Zach. We did the Book of Shadows run for, since May. So we did that for like the last 4 months. And we had like a couple Black Label shows in there as well. Like we did Heavy Montreal and Sturgis, we played with Black Label. And we did like one show with Guns N' Roses, but that was with the Zakk Wylde thing too. So it was a fly date, you know what I mean? That was pretty cool, man.
Where was the Guns N' Roses thing?
Phoenix at the Cardinal Stadium. So that was dope, man. You know, it was like, you know, 60,000 people there. It was amazing. Guns N' Roses sounded great. You know, it was a good time, man.
Cool. So besides the work you do with Zakk, what else is happening for you?
Well, you know, I'm gonna do nails, I think. I'm gonna get my nail salon going. But besides that, I got Cycle of Pain, you know, we're gonna play today. And then we're gonna write some new stuff, try to put something out or maybe do a little run here and there, you know what I mean, while I'm off. You know what I mean? And I write my own stuff too, and then we're gonna do another Black Label record probably in about November or something in the fall. So that's about it, man. But for right now I'm just gonna be writing and recording, man.
And we're here at the Rock Carnival in Lakewood, New Jersey. Where you're from, New Jersey, right?
Yeah, from Clifford Beach, man. Clifford Beach. Yeah, not far, like 30 minutes away.
Cool. We'll have a great set tonight with Cycle of Pain. And where can the Talking Metal listeners check out Cycle of Pain online?
Like on we have stuff on iTunes, you know what I mean? So you guys can go to our first record, which was put out like years ago now. And we have a couple of singles that we put out too since then. So you can go on iTunes, check that out, and that's about it, man. But good seeing another Berkeley brother.
Yeah, good seeing you, JD. Have a great set today.
Thanks, man.
Cool. All right, good seeing you.
I told Johnny, I said, I'll probably see him.
He'll be around.
Yeah,
I think he's almost here. He said he's on his on road.
In oh, really?
Here.
He's
yeah,
in route?
Yeah.
Nice, man.
What you just heard was the song Dirt by Cycle of Pain. They played the Rock Carnival, put on a great set. And kind of an interesting band that played the Rock Carnival was the Apocalypse Blues Review. And you caught up with these guys. You weren't really expecting to interview them. It was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing, right?
It was very spur-of-the-moment. They were the coolest guys, so nice. So I couldn't say no. But basically, the people that were coordinating the interviews came up and said, hey, do you have a second to interview these guys? And I'm like, well, sure. I mean, maybe can I prep a little bit? And they're like, well, they have to go on stage, so can you do them right now? And I was like, sure. Right. So this was very much on spur-of-the-moment.
Right, they're called the Apocalypse Blues Review. Of course, this band includes the one and only Shannon Larkin, who's been on the podcast before. I believe John did an interview with him, and he played on one of my favorite albums in one of my favorite bands, and possibly the best live performance I've ever seen in my life, and that band is Amen, of course. But he's probably most known for Godsmack. And Tony Rombola, I believe is his name. He is also in Godsmack, and he's also in the the Apocalypse Blues Review. And we're going to check those guys out right now. Hear a song by them. This song is called Whiskey in My Coffee, and that'll be followed by Emily Striegel's interview with the Apocalypse Blues Review. We'll have links up in today's show notes where you can connect with these guys online.
Talking Metal listeners, Emily Striegel coming at you right now from the Rock Carnival in Lakewood, New Jersey. With me right now, I've got the Apocalypse Blues Review. Yeah, I'm just going to go around and have you guys introduce yourselves.
Right. I'm Shannon. I'm the drummer.
Hey, what's up? This is Tony.
How you doing, Rafer?
Hey, it's Brian. I'm the bass player.
Nice. Welcome, guys. Really nice to meet you. So tell me where you're coming from today and what you're doing and You're looking forward to playing about an hour here, but where are you coming from today?
We played in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania last night, and we've been on tour for a couple weeks now. Our first record just came out last month, so we're very excited.
Where can we get the record? Where can we pick it up?
Well, you know, you can go to theapocalypsebluesreview.com, of course. We have vinyl, too. We're really stoked about that. And but, you know, it's on iTunes, of course, and mom and pop stores carry us.
Nice. I love the vinyl. I'm a huge vinyl person myself. I listen to a lot of vinyl. I'm always curious, though, like, how expensive is it to make vinyl? And is that, like, lucrative? Like, do you end up making money? Is this the first time you've done that, where you make a record, like an actual vinyl record, and you sell it? Can you make money on that? Or is it more expensive to make than it is lucrative? Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, records cost more now to make and to buy. Because they're not like the factory anymore of records. So it is, but I guess it works out because they charge more for them. It's a click, you know. Tony and I made a record with Godsmack, is our other band. And our last record or album came out on record for the first time since the first record from Godsmack. So we were stoked on that. But it wasn't something that was a mass release, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of the cost to make it. But, you know, we that was one of the points that we wanted to sign with this label, Provog, that we're with. Because they're like, we make vinyl. So we're like, yay!
Yeah. No, that's extremely appealing, I know, to a lot of people. So, I know. I'll check it out for sure. So, tell me about, stylistically, how, I mean, you worked with Godsmack before. Is this a totally different direction for you?
Yeah, it is. It's more classic rock, blues rock, opposed to, you know, metal and rock. So yeah, stylistically, it's much different. And even gear-wise, you know, we use all different gear for this as Godsmack. So there's a lot of things that are a lot different that I'm enjoying because it seems fresh and exciting now. You know, after doing Godsmack for so long. So yeah, we're having fun with this.
Awesome. Very cool. So. Where are you guys headed next? Are you doing a full tour to support the new album, which just dropped, you said, when?
Yes. This is the first leg, we call it, I guess, because it's like just a month run. And then we go home to Florida, and we'll probably do the South for the next couple months. See, with blues, like, the gateway to blues is, like, festivals, but in that genre, you have to book these things 6 months to a year in advance. And so we didn't have the right agent to do that for us to start this summer. And the record timing when it came out wasn't right. So next year we'll do a lot of festivals and stuff. But this year our plan is to stay south of the Mason-Dixon line where people appreciate what we do. So it's great to be here in Jersey, and maybe we can turn some metal folks onto the blues.
See, I'm a huge, huge blues person. I'm from the Midwest, too, so, like, go figure. But, you know, my roots are in the South, so maybe that's what it is, maybe. And are you all from Florida? Are you all?
Yeah, we're not born there. You know, he's a Boston guy, I'm a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
He's a New York guy, but he's actually bred and spread in the great state of Florida.
Right. How did you all hook up? I want to hear the story. I know how you guys met, but what about you guys?
Right, I met Shannon through a mutual friend at a biker bar.
Nice.
And we started getting together, going for rides, having lunch, just kind of talking and having a good time. And then one day Shannon came to my house and saw my acoustic in the corner. He said, go ahead, play me a song. He heard me play, and I guess he liked my voice. A couple weeks later, he gave me a call, said, come on down, I want you to sing this blues song. And the rest is history.
I love that story. Okay. The biker bar. Amazing. And then how did you come into the loop?
Actually, a local radio station was doing like a building the band contest. And so I entered as a bass player. And, you know, Shannon was like, yeah, that's the guy. And I was like, oh, you know, awesome.
Cool.
So that's.
So what have you done before now? Have you just done your own bands and stuff?
I toured with Ricky Medlock's Blackfoot for about 6 years. And we put a record out. But now I'm with these guys and I love it.
Yeah. Very cool. Cool.
You remember Blackfoot?
I've heard of Blackfoot. Yes, I know Blackfoot. I know you guys probably have a couple more interviews to do, and you guys have to get back on stage soon. I don't know what time it is, but I'm thanking you guys for sitting down with Talking Metal today. This is very cool to meet you. I'm definitely gonna come check out your set. Look for me in the photo pit. I do it all. So interviews
and. Thank you for having us, because obviously you know no one knows who we are yet, and
so they will.
Every little thing helps, and this is big. A big thing. And so thanks for having us.
Very, very cool. Well, thanks for being on Talking Metal. We'll see you guys soon.
All right. Yeah.
We appreciate
it. Yeah, no, absolutely.
What you just heard was a little sound sample of I Stand Alone by Godsmack, featuring, of course, Shannon and Tony, who are also in the Apocalypse Blues Review. Right now, we're going to get to our hotline messages. Again, the hotline number is 973-757-1917. This one just came in. I have not listened to it, I swear on my life. And I swear on my wife, who is right here with me. So let's check this out. Emily, are you listening?
I'm listening.
All right. This is a little voicemail that has come in through the new Talking Metal hotline. Let's see who this is here.
Mr. Striegel, this is me, Bill Wang, Talking Metal co-host alumnus.
Bill
Wang.
The
question I have for you with the inside sources and the co-founder of Talking Metal, your buddy, John Astronomy, working for Ace Frehley, the persistent rumors of Ace returning to KISS in 2017, we hear these rumors consistently, constantly, daily. My sources tell me maybe, they say maybe not. Now you, with the inside scoop on things, what is your opinion and what have you heard? Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah.
This is Bill Wang, W-A-N-G, Talking Metal, baby. Bam.
Wow, Bill, you need your own show. Yeah, and Bill Wang, of course, known to the old school Talking Metal fans as Donnie G. Remember Donnie G?
Totally.
Yeah. Real quick, my opinion is that, you know, people really want this to happen. You know, Paul Stanley and Ace Frehley are buddies again. They appeared in the video, Ace's video together, and are on good terms, which is awesome. And the KISS fans love that. And I think that has gotten everybody really wanting to see Ace back in KISS for maybe one more tour. And I think it's very possible it could happen at some point. But, you know, I also think it's very possible it could not happen. And the inside stuff I have is basically not all that inside, because Ace has said on numerous times, including Eddie Trunk just said this on his podcast, that Eddie asked Ace if they had contacted him, if Kiss had contacted him, and Ace said, my phone has not rung. He has not been offered this position, but everyone wants this so bad that these rumors are flying all over the place. So if Kiss is talking about it, they haven't reached out to Ace, and I kind of think they're not. Gene said recently that it's not happening, as far as I know. I remembered reading that, and you know, as far as John goes, if Ace doesn't know anything about it, John doesn't know anything about it. And that's what I've heard.
And by the way, So first of all, when Paul Stanley put it, that picture of that old school picture of he and Ace, like last year or something like that, like my hair stood on end. At that moment, I thought, this is going to happen. But what I didn't realize was that he was going to be on the Ace.
Before they announced that he was going to be on the Ace, Ace covers record, yeah.
But it's kind of setting everything up. But let's talk about his performance on Saturday at Rock Carnival.
Yeah, it's good
segue.
That's
the other performance that was just like awesome.
Awesome, yeah. And Donnie, just to, Bill Wang, I'm sorry, just to wrap up. I think this is a mass illusion, the grand illusion, if you will. Emily and I just saw Styx recently, by the way. I really don't think there's any evidence at all that this is happening, but I think people want it to happen so bad that that's where these rumors are coming from. And if the people want it enough, and they're willing to go pay $300 for a ticket, just like, you know, they were for the Guns N' Roses shows, maybe it will happen. You know, if there's a demand, maybe it'll happen. But I don't personally believe, and I would tell you, I wouldn't be saying it with this much conviction. I personally believe that there are no cards in place at this time for it to happen. But as Emily was saying, Ace Frehley played with his great solo band, the Rock Carnival. We got to see John a little bit backstage there. Ace was there, and he just rocked it, as always. And it was raining a little harder when he went on. I don't know if you noticed
it was. No, we came up and we were eating dinner. We were eating hot dogs for dinner. After you got to eat at the festival. But my vote is Ace is coming back into Kiss.
Okay.
And that's partly because you're my husband and we just have to be like the yin and the yang. So if Ace goes back with Kiss, you owe me $100.
I'll owe you a hot dog and $100. Okay. So on that note, Ace rocked the Rock Carnival. Let's do a little rocking with Ace right now. This is Space Invader.
Yeah.
What you just heard was the song Space Invader by Ace Frehley. Go buy it on iTunes or Amazon. I've been buying a lot of MP3s on Amazon lately as opposed to iTunes, but, you know, that's just me. Let's keep the music going with a little Trickster. We're going to hear Crash That Party by the band Trickster. And after that, we're going to hear Emily's interview with PJ Farley and Steve Brown. Nice guys, right?
Such nice guys. Just so down to earth and cool. And again, the Jersey contingent continues.
Trickster, Jersey band.
Love it. So we got to talk a little bit about New York and what they did after Trickster broke up.
I found that very interesting. I listened to this interview already, and I found that very interesting that, you know, they were out there. Well, we'll let them tell the story, and then we'll come back and talk about
it. Yeah, exactly. But their set was so good. They were awesome, but I felt terrible because PJ's bass literally went out for an entire song.
Wow.
His roadie was like running off stage, you know, had to grab another bass entirely because he was trying to figure out, I think, if it was the amp or the bass. It must have been the bass because, you know, he finally got back going again. But they went through a whole song with just drums and guitar.
Cool. And we'll have a couple pictures up from their performance. You got some pictures, right, Emily? Or no?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll have those in today's show notes. This is Crash That Party by Trickster, a song from 2015. And we'll follow that with Emily's interview with PJ Farley, the bassist, and Steve Brown, the lead guitarist of Trickster.
All right, so this is Emily Striegel coming at you from Talking Metal today. I'm here with two of the guys from Trickster. I'm with PJ and Steve. How are you guys doing today?
Doing fairly well. We're dry today, which is a good thing.
Doing great. Getting ready for the big rock and roll show here in Lakewood, New Jersey.
All right. Now, you say you're staying dry today. Were you here yesterday to partake in some of the wet festivities?
Yeah, no, we weren't here, but we heard all about the wetness.
We missed the wet t-shirt contest, so we're actually very bummed about that. But
great to be here today.
I know, right? Yeah. So I took my boots off last night and threw them in the sink at the hotel. Just kind of turned it on. So now my feet are cold and wet again. But at least they're not as muddy as they were yesterday. Yeah. So welcome. Where are you guys coming from today?
Home, actually. This is our home state, so we live here. So this is literally a day in the park for us.
A day in the minor league baseball park. Yeah. But yeah, we live about an hour and 15 minutes north up, Bergen County area. So, a little hop, skip, and a jump from old Paramus, New Jersey. Here we are back in Lakewood, ready to rock.
And you guys are all originally from Paramus, and none of you have left. So this is, you never did the move out to you moved to LA for a while, back in the day, right?
Nope, no one did. Pete and Mark live in Arizona now. Okay. But me and Steve still reside in Jersey.
Jersey boys.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what are you guys working on right now? I know you guys had an album that came out last year called, help me out, Human Era.
That's it. Yeah.
And I did take a listen, and it's really good. And the thing that impressed me about it was that you guys, it wasn't like a reinvention, and you guys had an album out, I think, a few years before, which also had the same vibe, but this album, Human Era, specifically, it felt like old school Trickster. You guys aren't trying to reinvent yourselves, and that I really dug that. I like it a lot.
Great. Well, that was the, I don't know if it was the point, because there really is no essential point to what we do. We just kind of do it. So, but that's been the ongoing theme. It doesn't sound like it's contrived or like we're trying too hard. That's a win for us.
And do you guys all work together on writing the material, or how does that work with two of you in Jersey and two of you in Arizona?
Well, we do it the way a lot of bands make records nowadays. You can make records with, Dropbox and digital files and Pro Tools, and PJ and I are both in New Jersey. Luckily, I think Gus was still living in Jersey when we did the drum tracks, but Pete, our vocalist, does his vocals at his studio in Arizona, sends them to me, and I drop them in, and, It's that old saying, it's like rock and roll records is like making sausage. You never want to see how it's made, but when it's done, you love the way it tastes. And that's kind of the way it is. We take bits and pieces, and some of the songs are actually, were old, like demos that we, that we kind of, revamped, and that's the way it works.
Very cool. So, looking at you're touring, so you guys are definitely playing some dates, but they seem to be fairly sporadic. Aren't you guys planning any kind of extensive touring, or did you do some touring to support that album?
No, the way we've been doing it since we put the band back together in 2008 is just kind of weekend fly dates, sporadic, busier in the summer months, although we have a fairly busy fall, fairs, festivals, casinos, and some select arena shows with packages and whatnot. Some headlining gigs here and there. It's kind of all over the place.
So take me back to you guys, obviously hugely successful in the 80s, early 90s, broke up, 95-ish?
That's right.
And then take me through that process of breaking up, getting back together, and it's the original lineup.
Yeah. We worked really hard through the 90s. 95 came about, and we realized that we couldn't go any further with what we were doing. And I had been always writing and coming up with different material, and I was 25 at the time. So I said, I want to completely change change the game. We're going to end Trickster. And PJ and I started this great band called Throwing Rocks, and went out and really did the whole New York City club scene and toured a little bit and really trying to reinvent the wheel, which is a lesson we learned. It's very hard to reinvent the wheel when you're in a band that was famous once, because the thing that always came back to us, it's the guys from Trickster. And we continued on and tortured ourselves for 10 years, you know, doing this. But it was great. We learned so much. We learned about, you know, writing, recording, getting out there in the business, learning really how cruel the business can be.
What matters
in
this, and what doesn't matter, yeah. Most importantly.
And, you know, we had a couple other bands, 40 Foot Ringo, which was, you know, we had a record on this European label that was really well-received all around the world. And we came really close to getting a major label deal with that, but that kind of fizzled. It's, you know, so it was kind of a disappointment, but we had a blast along the way, you know, playing great shows, opening up for like Cheap Trick, David Lee Roth. And then 2008, yeah, Scorpion, Alice Cooper, who can forget about that. 2008, we decided to put the band back together, and, you know, we started out at the world-famous Rocklahoma Festival in Oklahoma when... Yeah, it was like a wicked tornado, and we almost died there, all of us and Eddie Trunk. So,
what year was that?
2008, that big hurricane that blew through. Shit. It's on YouTube; you can see it. Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Trickster vs. Mother Nature is actually a video somebody put together.
I have to watch this. I've never been to Rocklahoma before. Really? Were there any deaths?
No, somebody broke an arm.
Thank God. Okay, we can deal with a dead arm, but no dead people. Wow, that's amazing. So when you say that this project that you guys put together after the breakup, it was kind of a reinvention, like, what do you mean by that? Like, were you guys stylistically doing something in a totally different direction?
Completely different. I wasn't even playing guitar. I was singing lead and doing a whole... It was kind of like, if you can imagine, Lenny Kravitz, Stone Temple Pilots meets Oasis. Kind of that whole thing, very Beatly, and, you know, it was very, very cool at the time, and... You know, again, we came very close, but we always ran into that same sort of thing. You know, oh, it's the trickster guys. Yeah. No matter how you mask it, they're going to find out.
You can't hide from the trickster. So that was like 90. So you said like 98.
Yeah,
so, gosh, I moved to New York City in 98. So where were you guys playing? I want to hear. Like, none of the clubs are there anymore, right? Were you playing like Don Hills? Did you do CBGBs?
Yeah, Don Hill.
I miss Don Hills.
Brownies, Arlene Grocery, Brownies. Mercury Lounge, everywhere. All CBGB many times, which we're grateful that we got to play there. But so many great shows, and, you know, met so many great people. But, you know, hey, it's part of the learning, you know, of this business.
So this album came out 2015. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a break, but I see you had an album in 2012. 2015, so we're looking at 2018 for more material. Are you even thinking about that at this point, or are we just going to take it a day at a time?
Right now we're just the problem we're running into is because we do these festivals, we only usually get like a half hour, maybe 45 minutes. So, you know, and for us, people want to hear the stuff that they grew up on.
Yep.
So we're like, all right, so we keep doing these records and we want to play all this new material, but we can't. So it's like we have four full-length records now, and we still struggle to get material in. So it's like, you know, for a band of our genre from, you know, our time period, to come out with two full-length original records in 4 years, it's a lot. So I think we kind of met our quota for the time being right now.
For the decade, that's what I was going to say.
So I think we can, you know, slow the roll a little bit. But that doesn't mean we won't make another one. I just, you know, it's not on the...
No, I was impressed by that when I went through and I looked. I was like, wow. It was a live album in 2009 and two, like, new material, like, albums of new material. So that's really impressive. So I'm really excited to see you guys today.
Good.
You're playing very soon. I'm going to let you guys rest. I know you have probably a couple other interviews, but I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for being on Talking Metal today, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening.
We love you.
We love you. All right.
We always like to close interviews with British accents.
Are you serious? We could have done the whole interview in an accent.
God.
Let's try it again. All right, sit down.
Golly.
No.
Golly.
Get some tea and some crumpets.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
just heard was some classic Trickster here on Talking Metal. Give It to Me Good. It's got to be about 1990. And, yeah, we got to hit some Monster Magnet right now. This is Negasonic Teenage Warhead. They played this at the show, guys. Love these guys, Monster Magnet.
Saw your face last night on the tube. Strong, fine snake in a sucker's vacuum. 15 clicks and it's time to say bye. 15 trips and a love that won't die.
That was Negasonic Teenage Warhead off the Dopes to Infinity album, Monster Magnet. Another, man, we both bought, the only t-shirts Mark and I bought at the festival were Monster Magnet. Yeah. We both bought one.
Now, I want to ask you, that t-shirt I got has the silhouette of the girl with the like hourglass figure and the big boobs sticking out. It's probably not a shirt I'm going to wear to work, but is it like cool to wear around town with that image
sure.
on it? Okay.
Oh my God, I was wearing a Cat House t-shirt the other day that had like a naked mermaid with stars over her nipples, and I didn't realize,
okay.
I didn't realize I was wearing it in front of like children. Maybe it's not the best thing.
But as we mentioned earlier, Emily and I were talking to Dave backstage, I guess I'd call it, or back in the press room area, not doing an interview with him. And you got him to talk about, you know, you were asking.
Well, I was just saying, I was like, Dave, dude, you know, we haven't seen you in like 11 years. I haven't seen you live in like 11 years. Like, I've been seeing them all the way back. Like, God, I saw them open for the Cult. I saw them with you a couple of times at Irving Plaza, just them solo. It's been a while. And his comment just kind of threw me back because the most recent tour they did was in Europe. And it was like a brief tour, and they came back, and, you know, he's not really doing much. And he said it's because, he basically said it was, you know, the audiences aren't evolving at all in the States. In Europe, you get the younger kids coming to the rock shows. Here, you kind of have like all the original fans, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they're not picking up new fans. And that's kind of a, I think, a turnoff to a lot of these bands. And he spoke about that. Off camera,
right
off
on
mic.
And we got his email, so hopefully we'll get him back on Talking Metal sometime real soon. We're going to end with a little Amen, a band that features Shannon Larkin, who you heard briefly from earlier. He's got the new project going, the Apocalypse Blues Review, and he's also known for his work with Godsmack. So let's check out a little Amen. The best concert I ever saw was Amen in Las Vegas, Casey Chaos. And the boys just brought down the house and destroyed it at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas. Good stuff. And yeah, kind of a little off topic here because Amen did not play the Rock Carnival, but Shannon
Larkin
love
Casey
did.
Chaos.
Yeah, so here we go. And we'll see you next time, guys.
If I can drag this skin off, I'll trade it for your ring. pays for your freedom. Population pays. Hey!